The Fender Custom Shop is celebrating its 30th anniversary. This is so exciting. They started filling orders in 1987, and not only are they celebrating their 30th anniversary, they're doing it with a famous photographer, a photographer of the stars, rock stars, musicians, and he was the official photographer at Woodstock. I really don't think there's anybody that he hasn't captured. Henry Diltz is with us. Thanks for joining us today, you guys.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here. And also Justin Norvell, he's the senior vice president at Fender. You've got the custom shop in Corona. And for fans, it's just like an amazing place, right? It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, we actually call it the Dream Factory. So that's really where we, design and come up with, anything that a musician can imagine.
Right. I mean, you've made guitars for so many famous stars, for Clapton, for Dylan.
Clapton, Dylan, Jeff Beck, really a who's who. The list is pretty amazing and extensive of everybody that we continue to build for and have built for in the past. But it's also a shop where anybody that wants a guitar can come up with their own dream guitar and mm-hmm. have that built. So it's pretty insane. We've built guitars out of lava lamp material, with liquid inside, to just workhorse products that you could use every day, diamond encrusted works of art.
Yeah.
To just, we make tools of creative expression. It's art so people can make their art, which is the music. And that's what's really important.
Mm-hmm. Like the art that Henry has made over the years. And Henry, you were in a folk group. You had your own folk group when you started.
Yes, I did. In the early 60s, uh-huh. we were called the Modern Folk Quartet, mm-hmm. kind of a cop on the Modern Jazz Quartet. But we did four-part harmony folk music.
Do you play guitar also?
No, I know a few chords, but uh-huh. I played the banjo in the Modern Folk Quartet. I played the five-string banjo, mm-hmm. Pete Seeger style.
Nice. How'd you guys end up connecting? Because you have taken photographs of the 30th anniversary. There are these special mm-hmm. editions from the original master builders.
Well, I mean, I've photographed Fender guitars all my life on stage. Keith Richards, Jimi Hendrix, Bruce Springsteen. So they've always been in my frame. But one day, not too long ago, a couple months ago, I got a call from Fender Guitars, mm-hmm. and they asked if I would be interested in flying to a couple of places in the country to photograph these master guitar builders.
Yeah.
And I said, that sounds like a great idea.
Yes.
I'm always up for an adventure. And
you
this
are.
Truly was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I flew up to Oregon first and photographed two guys in their homes and their home workshops where they create these master guitars. And one of them was in Wolf Creek, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove there in a snowstorm, and spent the afternoon. So in both cases, one guy was named J.W. Mm-hmm. and the other guy was John Page. Both of them were amazing guys. And I got to spend the day with each of them and sort of get to know them. And then the third one was a different trip when I went to Alpine, Texas mm-hmm. to photograph a guy named Michael Stevens, who mm-hmm. was a real cowboy. In fact, he had his horse there and saddled it up and rode it. And we took some pictures and an amazing guitar builder. All of these guys, there were 8 classic guitar builders that they reached out to for their 30th anniversary. And they told each one of them to build their dream guitar exactly, every kind of thing that they would like to see in a guitar. So they had a great time doing it. And these guys, had advanced in the field to where they're even building their own guitars with our own mm-hmm. names on them. But they went back to do this for Fender. I remember one guy, after I did these 3 interviews mm-hmm. around the country, then I got to photograph 5 more classic builders when they interviewed them at Corona at the Fender factory. And each one of them was just amazing. Each one was so different.
Yeah.
And the product they finally designed were so different. I mean, one was a pure white guitar with mm-hmm. kind of gold fittings. And, one was a sunburst. One had green flecks of, each one was totally different. But to spend time with them was so much fun. For me, being a photographer is mm-hmm. like having a passport into people's lives, is what right. I always say. I'm very interested in people. I'm interested in music, being a musician, but it's the people part of it that I really love. And so getting to know each one of these guys, the first guy, J.W. Black, up in Oregon, was kind of a Zen guy.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, he had Buddha statues out in his garden. Mm-hmm. And we went to dinner, and he was telling me about how much he liked Japan. He'd been there, and I said, I just got this inkling that in a past lifetime, I said, I'll bet you, like back in the 1700s, you were like a Japanese woodworker guy. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, that seems about right. And then, right. And then the next guy was like a hipster, kind of uh-huh. a skateboard hot rod guy who was amazing. He had kind of long, kind of whitish hair and a big, long Fu Manchu beard from mm-hmm. the middle of his chin down to his waist. And he lived way out in the woods in the snowstorm in Oregon with his beautiful wife. And she cooked a great dinner for us. And then the third guy, Michael Stevens, was with the cowboy I mentioned. He reminded me of Georgia O'Keeffe because mm-hmm. he lived surrounded by these mountains in South Texas, kind of like Georgia O'Keeffe in New Mexico. And he had a cow skull on the wall, and I took a picture of him standing there. I just you know, felt like it was just like Georgia O'Keeffe. It was mm-hmm. so great.
You're good at painting a picture. Like, yeah. I can see these in my mind. And, you know, the way you photograph, you really do get into a person's life. You are so good at doing that, capturing the moment and essence of the person and what they're doing. And so yeah. Of those guitars, did you have a favorite one or like one that just completely blew you away?
They all completely yeah. blew me away. No, I mean, and then going into their shop for each one of these guys. I mean, so my job was to document,
yeah.
which is what I do. I like to just photograph what I see, mm-hmm. you know, what really happens rather than set anything up. And so it was perfect for me to just be a fly on the wall. And they all went through, showed me how they designed, you know, how they painted them, how they, uh-huh. you know, put the frets on, how they put the pegs on, how they did all of that stuff, and I just photographed all those steps.
I think there was one double neck even, Justin?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a double neck, which was based upon one of the first order that we ever had for a uh-huh. guitar was a double neck. So that's kind of, it was an homage to kind of bringing the past to the future. And really going back to Henry, this is why we decided to work with him, is because these weren't snapshots. We didn't want to just document these people. It was about, they're the guys behind the guys. This mm-hmm. is the personalities of these people. They're artisans in their own right. And they each do have personalities where even people who wanted guitars built, they kind of fit with the right master builder that's the right person that fits their personality for what they want to do. Like when Eric Clapton wants a guitar, there's one builder he goes to. When mm-hmm. Jeff Beck wants a guitar, there's one builder that they lock into. And as Henry said, there's a different character and a different vibe to each one of them. And so celebrating that was really important. And, you know, it's kind of like The Godfather where they keep pulling me back in. You know, these guys aren't with Fender or employed by Fender anymore, but because if you're in the custom shop, you're family for life. Yeah. And so to celebrate this, rather than just talk about the future or where we're going, we really wanted to go back and celebrate, you know, what has been and the journey we've been on, and celebrate everybody that's been a part of that.
Where can we see the guitars? There's the documentary that you're going to tell
us about. There's the documentary. Yeah, mm-hmm. we did a documentary to kind of memorialize this 30-year journey, and it was very loose, ramshackle, kind of rogues gallery of, you know, they called themselves kind of guitar pirates at the time mm-hmm. when the custom shop was really just an idea. Mm-hmm. All the way till today where, you know, it's memorialized on stages worldwide and in calendars, et cetera, and coffee table books. So this documentary is out on the Fender site. It's on YouTube, et cetera. And also the guitars exist up there on the Fender.com website.
Yes, you can see the guitars that we've been talking about
sure.
that Henry photographed. And there aren't very many of these guitars that have been made, right? A limited quantity.
Very limited quantity of each of these. There's like 30 of each guitar, and they're literally going to be in, there's custom shop showcase dealers, and that's where you'll be able to find them.
Right.
Here in the LA area, there's Wild West Guitars, which is in Riverside and Pasadena.
I bet people are seeking them out already.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a piece of history as well as a musical interest. instrument, you know?
Yeah, and the documentary that you have, where can people see that? Because it's very cool. And fans
it's
of
on,
Fender
it's
will
on
love
Fender's
it.
YouTube page, as well as just on Fender's Custom Shop website. It's memorialized up there. The anniversary is kind of the lead thing that we're going with.
Yeah, this is a big deal. The 30th anniversary. And Fender was around before. It was around before the Custom Shop in Corona. Yeah. What prompted that Custom Shop?
Well, Fender's been a Southern California company. It started in 1946 by Leo Fender. And it was bought at one point by CBS, and over time the company was bought back in the early 80s. And when we started making guitars again, it just seemed we were working with artists and talking to people, and it just, rather than having a limited line of products, we just were like, we wanted to push guitar making forward and reassert our position in the world. So the Custom Shop was born, and from then on it's just been a crazy ride. J.W. Black, who Henry was talking about, invented the idea of relicking guitars, which is the what we do where the guitar is made to look like it's an old guitar. And that was basically done on the idea of Don Was and Keith Richards, because they wanted a guitar to be aged to look like their old guitars so they could take those out on tour. So, I mean, these people have not just built guitars, but have changed guitar making history, you know, in the Custom Shop and pushed the idea of what that is forward.
So when Keith Richards orders a guitar, he wants it to look like it's been worn in.
Yeah, it's like it's like an old pair of jeans. Yeah. It's like a baseball glove. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's a feeling where it fits and you don't need to break it in, and then it's already done. So, I mean, a guitar, unlike other instruments, a piano you sit at or a drum set you sit at, a guitar you hold to your body, you wear, and it becomes part of you. And so the tactile, the ergonomics, the ability for it to be broken in and feel really comfortable and like something that you've had forever really just allows you to create and unplug and not think about what you're doing and how you're playing.
It's personal. It's a real personal experience. Absolutely. Between you and the guitar. Were you guys talking about Pete Townsend? He'd ordered a custom guitar. And,
yeah.
But when he went to smash his up, did he replace it with something else because he didn't want to just waste that fine piece of art?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in rock and roll. It's kind of peeling back the curtain a little bit. But like, you know, Jimi Hendrix played Monterey and played a black guitar. And at the end, he pulled out this painted guitar, and that's the one he lit on fire. Pete Townsend used to switch guitars when he would go to smash guitars. It's said that he stopped playing Fenders for a little while because they were harder to smash than other guitars. But he, right now, we actually just did a signature model with Pete Townsend, and he's been playing that on tour. It's a cool guitar that we built for him in the Custom Shop that is able to simulate an electric and an acoustic guitar, so he could just play one guitar.
Nice. And so, when we talk about these places like the Monterey Pop Festival, and we talked a little bit about Woodstock, you were there, Henry. I mean, you've been photographing part of the 20th and 21st century. You know, you're like the American photographer.
I guess I have it wasn't a plan. It's kind of an accident.
It just kind of happened, huh? And you've got some great stories. We're talking to Henry Diltz, famous photographer, who's working with Justin Norvell and Fender. We'll get to the stories in a moment.